our strength, and they are people who intercede and pray for this house and for you on a continuous basis, and they're going to take more of an active role in the coming weeks and months here in the house. But I just want you to recognize them. They're going to be coming from table to table today and introducing themselves and talking to you. But each one of these people are experienced in ministry. They are not novices in any way. They've been through the flood, been through the fire. They have had the test of time. They have walked through the trials of life, and they have been found faithful. And so sometimes in our definition of elders, we think they're the old people that we look to. I'm laying my hand on Rick's shoulder right now. But I want you to understand that you're going to find that elders are people that you can turn to and trust. And in the days to come, they're going to play a very important role. That is that they're going to prepare and impart to this next generation. Amen? And so they have a responsibility, and you're going to see that in the days and the weeks to come. So give them a good hand as they sit down today. We're going to be receiving communion in just a minute, but I have something that I want to just teach you, because it has everything to do today with what we're doing, and that's legacy. And the other day around the table, it's interesting because at the table we were having our meal together, and as everybody knows, it's always loud and boisterous, and everybody is talking, and so sometimes I think it's a competition who can be the loudest. And I'm not just talking about the kids, I'm talking about Matthew. So he's usually right in the middle of it all, and all of us are. And the conversation, as we were closing the meal, the conversation went to who I was going to leave everything to. And the girls, Kaylin and Haley, got into a discussion about who was, and don't anybody panic, who was going to get the church and who was going to get the house. And so, you know, and then they were talking about my cars and my stuff and who was going to get all that. And so they were ongoing in the conversation, and I just stopped everybody. I said, you do know I have to die before you get this. So you're talking about my death. You're not talking about my life. You're talking about, hey, as soon as he kicks off, we get all of this. I said, for some reason, I'm not feeling appreciated at this point. But legacy can mean physical things, and it can mean money, and it can mean lands and houses. Legacy can mean those things. It can mean those things. And the Bible does teach that we need to leave something to our children. How many understand that? And we don't want to leave them indebted. We don't want to leave them. We came here. There was an insurmountable debt and bills, not just on the mortgage, but insurmountable bills. And everybody knows that we are literally down to the last credit card that we had. And that's going to be rolled over into the monies that we are borrowing to finish out what we're trying to complete here. But that's not the kind of legacy that I'm talking about today. I'm not talking about a legacy of money and lands and houses and cars. Because I think everybody understands that those things will one day pass away. And I understand about teenagers looking at the natural things, right? Because that's naturally where their minds go. Because many times we think that where real riches lie is in those natural things. And sometimes you can teach and you can instruct, but how many knows that sometimes it doesn't quite equate until age and experience and appreciation kicks in and they see those things. It's no different than with the disciples. Even at the time that Jesus sat down in the first communion right before his crucifixion and his trial, Jesus was trying to relate to them about his body and his blood. They didn't get it then. They thought he was talking about other things. They were captured by that mindset more so than he was speaking about not just them, but a future generation after that. So what happens many times is in the same context. They were going through the ritual, but without knowing the really reality of what Jesus was talking about that day. In 1 Corinthians 11 and 23, if you turn there with me today, I'm not going to take long, guys, because we have a lot to do this morning and a short time to do it in. But I'm so happy to see all of you here today. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 23, if you're there, say amen. Sometimes I just think it's easier just to open my Bible. But the deal is here is that the print's bigger. How many can say amen? Again, something when you're young can't appreciate. Amen. So in verse 23 he says, "For I have received from the Lord himself," this is Paul talking, "that instruction which I passed on to you, that the Lord Jesus on the night in which he was betrayed took bread." Everybody say bread. Everybody say bread is his body. So when Jesus is talking about bread, he's talking about his body. That's what he was talking about. "And when he had given thanks," he what? The context here is this. You need to understand the significance is that he broke it. There is a significance here of why that Jesus broke the bread. I'm going to share that with you in just a minute. "And he said, this represents my body, which is offered as a sacrifice for you. Do this affectionately in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant." Amen. "Ratified, established in my blood. Do this as oft as you drink it in affectionate remembrance of me. For every time you eat the bread and drink the cup, you are what? Symbolically proclaiming. You are remembering the fact of the Lord's death until he comes again." So we realize here, I know that your King James says remembering. So every time we do this is remembering the Lord's death. But here's the glitch. Here is the glitch in all of it is that we many times focus on the death and not on the resurrection. And we're going to see that here in just a second. "So then whenever you eat the bread or drink the cup of the Lord in a way that is unworthy of him, you will be guilty of profaning and sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord. But a person must prayerfully examine himself and his relationship to Christ, and only when he has done so should he eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without solemn reverence and heartfelt gratitude for the sacrifice of Christ eats and drinks judgment on himself if he does not recognize the body of Christ. That careless and unworthy participation is the reason why many among you are weak and sick, and a number sleep in death." I just want to say this to you is that he's not speaking a curse here. What he's saying is that many do not discern the Lord's body correctly. They don't discern why Jesus really came. And when we don't see why Jesus came, why he came, then many times we miss the significance of the Lord's body and why we do what we do. "When I come to the Lord's table that we have set prepared for you today," see, I must realize I am reminded of the most significant event in the history of mankind. The most significant history is not World War II. The most significant time in history is not the election here in America, like many people think. And I know that many people think that everything hedges on this election. No, I want you to know something. Everything hedged at the cross of Calvary. That's where everything hedged. Everything that has to do with man is insignificant compared to what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary. I'm not making light of the voting. I'm not making light of what is going on. I'm not making light of injustice and hatred. But what I am saying to you is this, is that when you exalt one above the other, you lose the sense of balance of what God is trying to say to us. The great sacrifice of the only begotten Son of God, Jesus Christ. Why do we need to be reminded? Here's why. Because we forget. And listen now, we do this because it keeps his death and why he died in the forefront of my mind. The paradox of this supper, The Lord's instituted that we are to what? Look forward, not just backwards. When we are looking at the Lord's Supper, we're not just looking back at what happened, but we are looking forward to what will be. First and foremost, coming to the table, we are to what? We are to remember the Lord's death. But we are not only commemorating His death, but also His resurrection. We are not just giving honor to someone who is still in the grave. We're not just going to a grave, taking our flowers, doing our duty to commemorate the death of Jesus Christ. No one said it better than Jesus Himself in Revelations 1 and 18. And listen to this. I am He that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and death. The bread shows and represents His death. Yes, it does. How His body was broken and beaten for me. Isaiah 53 says it this way. Surely He hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet He did esteem Himself stricken and smitten of God and afflicted. But He was wounded for our transgressions. And He was bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed. Peter says, and we have been healed. So when we are taking of the bread, we are remembered. That's why that we have broken the bread. When we look at the bread this morning, we see the bread is broken in many different pieces. There are several pieces off of one loaf. Jesus' body was broken for us this morning. That's why I want to declare to many of you who are going through some of the most difficult times, remember something, don't be deceived. The spirit and the principalities and the powers of the air that are generating a spirit of hopelessness, that are generating hate, that are generating racism, that are generating discontent, that are generating this hopeless spirit, I declare to you this morning, my hope is not there, my hope is there. My hope is in the broken body of Jesus Christ. My hope is in the blood of Jesus Christ. Because when everything is done and said on November the 8th, realize this, that the kingdom of God that is going to last forever will continue on. And those who are part of that kingdom will continue on. So when I take of the bread this morning, I declare by faith that everything that is broken in me, Jesus already carried it. I said, Jesus has already carried it. Amen. So here I realize that every time we share His cup and break and bless the bread, I believe what Jesus meant here is more than a communion service at church. We are not trivializing any of it. But what if you, and listen, but what if you, as a couple, if we begin to put something together, I begin to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 11 here with John 3:16. Amen. Looking at what Jesus was talking about here in Corinthians and what John said, Jesus said in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, coupled with Mark 16:15. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. This is not about a ritual that we are doing, but the reality is it is this, that Jesus' body was broken and His blood was shed because of His great love. And God said, look, don't be silent about it. The world is broken. The world is hurting. And we need to take the gospel of hope to the world. That is what the communion is all about today. And every time we share healing with the broken, the sick, are we not breaking the body of Christ? See, every time you share the gospel, every time you share the message of hope to those who are broken, those who are hurting, those who are in need. And here's the point that you need to realize. This next door, this community center that is going up next door, this is not just about a place to exercise. Honey, listen, we got to be smarter than that.
Amen? The church has looked and said, this is how we're going to live. But I want you to know something today is this. This stands for real money over here. And that money is going to then eventually be turned in to feeding the sick and healing the hurting and the broken. That's why God is giving us. When we take of this, the burden has to be, how are we going to do it? How are we going to minister to those who are in need? Listen, folks, I believe that God has given us this building for a purpose and for a reason. And I tell you, the world is hurting. The world is broken. That's why we are doing what we're doing. When we share the glorious life He has given to us through His shed blood, are we not taking it up, amen, of His new covenant and sharing it with the world? When we share our life, our love, our substance with this body, are we not creating the Lord's table all again? Folks, it's not about money. It's not about just money. People want to make it about money, but it's not just about money. It's about everything we do is for a purpose of sharing the Lord's body today. Are you hearing me? As they play something today, the elders are coming and they're gathering the bread, they're gathering the cups and going from table to table. So please, guys, grab some bread, grab some cups, amen, and let's take it to the body today. How many are glad for the body of Jesus Christ? How many are glad that His body was broken for you today? Here's what I want you to do today. Wherever you're broken, think about it today. Wherever you're broken today, wherever you're hurting today, wherever your life is bruised today, wherever you're struggling, now look, now listen, everybody listen to me. You say, I'm unworthy. You know why you're unworthy? You're unworthy if you say, He cannot. Say today, He can. No matter what sin, no matter what you have done, know this, that there's not a sin, there's not anything that cannot be broken. And by you partaking of the cup and the bread, you are declaring, Lord, I need your healing. See, you think communion is for the perfect. But the truth is, communion is for the imperfect. What, Pastor? That's right. Jesus' body wasn't broken for the perfect. Because if that is, it'd be a small communion service today. Amen? The only one that could be here would be these babies. Amen? That'd be it. Do we have any perfect people here today? No. See, we're all in different stages of brokenness. And we're all in different stages of healing. Amen. What's broken in Brian is not broken in me. But you know what? I don't take my brokenness and say, no, Brian, I'm more broken or you're more broken than me. Jesus said we take our brokenness and we take the bread and the cup and we take it and we say, Teresa, God, heal me. That's why. So when you take the cup today, when you take the bread, look at that bread today. Everybody take the bread and look at it today. Look at it. And say with me today, this is the broken body. This is the broken body of Jesus. No, this is not the broken body. We're not Catholics, okay? Amen? We're not like the little altar boy that ran in, amen, to the priest and said, Father, Father, there's a rat eating the body of Jesus Christ. Okay? It's not the body. Are you listening to me? It represents something. It's our point of faith that we take and we say, whatever is broken in my life, come on, close your eyes right now. Now it's just between you and God. It's not between you and me. It's between you and God. And you today, right now, you say, Father, I've tried to take care of this broken place. Come on, everybody. Every young person. Honor, respect. This is the house. Not a time to talk. Not a time to share. not a time to goof. It's a time to honor the body and the blood of Jesus. Now, close your eyes, everyone. And say to yourself right now, Father, what is the broken part in my life? What is that broken part in my life that you want to heal? Now ask yourself, do you want it healed? Do you want it changed? Do you want Jesus to touch that part of your life right now? Some of you keep trying to escape the reality of Jesus talking to you. You keep trying to run from that place, that broken place, that hurting place in your life. Oh, you try different things. We all do. Some people try alcohol. Some people try drugs. Some people get addicted to porno. Some people get addicted to food. Some people get addicted to television. Some people get addicted to work. But it all comes down to one thing, doesn't it? Trying to deny that we're hurting. Well, guess what? You have the answer today. The broken body of Jesus Christ. It's too big for you. It's too big for me. Come on. You know how it is. I'm going to do it. I'm going to make it happen. I'm going to make it work. No, you're not. See, we can't do it. Only Jesus can make it happen. Only He can bring the healing. Are you ready? And that same night, Jesus blessed it. Amen. Father, we bless the bread right now that we're about ready to take. Wow. Father, we bless that bread right now in Jesus' name. Right now, I want you, in a point of contact, I want you to take the bread and say, God, heal me of the broken place in my life right now. Come on, everyone, take the bread. Right now, heal that broken place in my life. That place in my emotions, that place in my mind, that place in my body, that place that is broken in my past. I can have a past, and no matter what my past has been, now here it is. Here it is, Melvin, right here. Yeah, I got a past. Right? Who's got a past? Amen. Who's excited about your past? Somebody stand up and shout. No, we'll give you time. Nobody? Nobody. But guess what? Here's your future. Come on. Here's your future. The blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. The blood of Jesus. Come on, everybody, say it. The blood of Jesus. This is the cup of the new covenant. This is my hope. Eric, this is your hope, man. Your hope is not in your flesh. Your hope is not in yourself. Your hope is in the covenant. That's where it's at. Do you understand that? That's where your hope is in the blood of Jesus Christ. Well, I hope the world goes on. I don't want it to go on if I can't go on with Jesus. Amen? Amen? Our hope here is Shane. Right here, man. It don't matter about the rest. Right here. Right here. Right here. Are you ready? Father, right now, this is our future. Our future lies in the blood that lives and abides within us today. Not only this blood, but this same blood that is in me, one day, the same Spirit that quickened the mortal body of Jesus Christ will also quicken my mortal body, because Jesus has the key of death and of hell. And one day, don't matter if I go by the way of the grave, one day I shall raise up from that grave and I will meet my Lord in the air, and forever I will abide with Him because of the new covenant of His blood that is in me. If you don't have that blood abiding within you right now, say, Lord, I receive the work of your blood. I receive your life. And if you do have it today, say, Father, I thank you for the eternal life of your blood that lives and abides within me today. Come on, we bless the blood today, the cup, and now we take it together. Thank you, Jesus, for our new covenant, the life of Jesus Christ. Oh, sing it. Jesus.